So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
LouisvilleRadioNetwork.com, where you go for all the latest investigations and news that we're following. I tell you what, there's always a lot going on, even this time of year. You know, we don't normally put a date up. Today is December the 23rd, and I want to make sure everybody knows, quick program note, we will not be airing live shows on tomorrow or Wednesday, December 24th or 25th. You guys should probably figure out why. But, you know, we believe in Christmas on this show, and Christmas is for families. So we will not be airing a live show on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. If you're sitting around waiting to catch a political show or a news show on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, in my opinion, you just need to change your lifestyle, man. It's for families and friends and to rejoice and know the reason for the season. So we won't be here on either of those 2 days. So many things going on. You never know where to start. I will start with this. I'm not sure where Ed Martin is. Have not heard from Mr. Martin today. So I don't know if he will be here or not. I know he has been working incredibly hard in that business that Barack Obama gave him and built for him, you know. So he's been working a lot of overtime, and he's actually working on some satellite offices and things like that. So he may not actually make it. In the meantime, we have plenty to talk about. First things first, last week we had brought you the story of the lawsuit against Greg Fisher and the Reverend Kevin Cosby of St. Stephen's Church. And I tell you, it's phenomenal. this thing has went, in the Louisville market, this thing has went crazy. It's went totally viral. While the other mainstream media were jumping on board a day or two after we broke the story and everything else and trying to take credit for our work, people are finally waking up. This is a serious lawsuit against these two guys, and the only reason I bring it up again is for the last week it's been going crazy. Everybody in the community is going nuts over this, finally opening their eyes, seeing what's really going on with the Democratic leadership and the black so-called leaders in this town. So that's a good thing. And for anybody that's interested, I did do a personal interview with WLOU right here in Louisville, WLOU 1350 AM and 104.7 FM. Concerning this lawsuit on Saturday, I will be getting a copy of that. And as soon as I get a copy of that, because they don't podcast yet, so as soon as I get a copy of that, we will upload it in its entirety on the website at LouisvillePolitics.com, and you can get more of that story and see what's really going on. In the meantime, there's always more going on. So we now have an announcement. This is coming from WFPL. Apparently there are two Louisville attorneys who have already decided to put their name in the hat for Democratic Metro Councilwoman Tina Ward-Pugh's seat next year. Ward-Pugh announced that she wasn't going to seek re-election for the 9th District Metro Council seat. She's held that the whole time since we merged back in 2002. So this race is expected to draw a pretty crowded field, but the first two early runners, Democrat Chris Hartley and Republican Laura Rice, are the first two to file on either side of the aisle, and both are attorneys. So we have even more attorneys trying to get into the mix, if you will. I find that incredible. But anyway, Rice is a personal injury attorney, and Hartley is a former assistant prosecutor with the Jefferson County Attorney's Office. I've got to be honest with you. Anybody that's been involved with the Jefferson County Attorney's Office, I wouldn't elect as dog catcher. And I understand that they have some assistant prosecutors who are generally pretty good. I get that. I totally do. But, you know, this county attorney's office here in Louisville is nothing but a political hotbed. The county attorneys themselves typically are really only interested in one thing, and that's protecting the powerful elite. So I really don't have much good things to say about Chris Hartley yet, but I do like the fact that we do have another woman running in that race in the 9th District, in Republican Laura Rice. Because at the end of the day, I think Tina Ward-Pugh did a good job representing women's rights. I don't agree with her politics, but I think she did a pretty good job representing that. And I would hate to see that seat go to another Democrat male insider from the from the county attorney's office. So those are the first two candidates. Obviously, we'll have more coming further, coming up in the future. In the meantime, how are you, Mr. Martin?
Mr. Springsteen, I'm wore out. The hell, I guess it seemed like everybody in my neck of the industry couldn't figure out that, hey, tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
Well, we were just talking about that.
So I think what they did figure out is a lot of truck lines aren't running tomorrow, so they said, gotta go today, so.
Well, that's kind of what I was telling everybody. I figured you'd be busier than heck with tomorrow being Christmas Eve. It's 2 days of no work. I figured it'd be interesting to see if you were even going to show up tonight. But in the meantime,
yeah,
I was.
It had to run out at some point. You know, the truck lines, everybody's going to, they're going to start rolling up the carpet. So, yeah, it's good.
Well, you know, I'm spending a lot of time right now talking about the Metro Council races. We have two that have finally announced their intent for Tina Ward-Pugh's seat next year for the 9th District. You know, and speaking of which, I'm going to put you on a hot seat, man. And I know you're not going to like it at all, but I tell you, I'm getting phone call after phone call after phone call. What people don't understand is that me and Martin co-host this show on Monday and Tuesday nights, but we don't talk every day. You know, we're friends, but we're not the kind that are going to talk to each other 12 times a day and discuss everything in the world. When Martin comes onto this show,
yeah,
he's
now,
on line.
If one of us gets a hot tip that the other can use, that gets passed. But honestly, it gets passed via email. It's just like,
right.
I'm doing what I'm doing. You're doing what you're doing. I love to talk to you, but a lot of times I need, not a lot of times, all the time. I need two hands when I'm at the shop. So it's like I've got a discount version of a Bluetooth. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, you know, there's a reason I bring all of that up because, you know, this is the 23rd of December. It's the last show we're going to do live this week. Dale has his live show, of course, Thursday night with the TNT Truth Show. But we're not going to do a show tomorrow and Wednesday, obviously, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So with that in mind, and since we're talking about the Metro Council, I've got to ask you, man, because I'm getting sick of fielding phone calls like I'm some kind of this credible insider that you relay all your information to. Are you going to run for 19th District or not?
Oh, damn. Well, Merry freaking Christmas to you, too, Ed.
I'm sorry, dude. I've had...
One of the things I've always said about got to be honest, and I am thinking about it. And like you, I've fielded a lot of people have. You know, some people have been real honest and said, "Hey, you know, like the candidate that's already filed is got a lot of name recognition, but a lot of baggage too." And I've had some people say, "You know, Ed, think about it." So. I honestly can't say yes or no, but, you know, like always, even if not running for a race or not thinking about running for a race, always gathering information. And, I mean, there are positives and there are negatives to me running. And Lord, dare I say it, there's no shortage of issues, if you want to call them that, issues or baggage or points of opportunity that would the opponent has offered up over a 20-year career and playing the career politics game. So
I'm going to go down the road real quick.
Okay,
because,
and then I'll elaborate more. It's of course you just heard it. You know, we opened up the show with I'm busy.
Well, I mean
I've always told people I'm a private sector guy. So factoring prominently into that is business. I'm one of these type of employers that I. You know, I take everything from my relationship with my suppliers and my customers to my employees very, very seriously. So, you know, I'm personally invested in it. So, yeah, definitely. Okay. I'll tell you straight up. Definitely kicking it around.
Well, I just wanted to ask, because, I mean, I'm getting calls, I'm getting email, I'm getting all this stupid stuff. Like they expect me to make decisions for you, you know, and no offense or anything, but Julie Denton is a train wreck. And, you know, most of these phone calls and everything I'm fending off are coming from Republican insiders, and a lot of them are coming from that district itself, begging for somebody other than Julie Denton to run. So I didn't mean to put you on the spot, man, but I'm getting sick of having to try
I've also received some phone calls, you know, and I know there's some nerves out there. It's like some people have said, hey, you know, if you run negative. That's how you beat name recognition. And then people promptly... tell me what is negative. Ouch. Whoa.
Negative is a relative term anytime you run a campaign. I mean, it really depends. I mean, if you're telling the truth about somebody's record, is that negative? You know, so there's a lot of people that have their own opinions of that. But, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I just wanted to make sure that I asked a question because it was ironic because I got a phone call about 15 minutes before we went on air tonight. Asked me if I knew what you were going to do, and I'm like, I haven't talked to Ed. I don't know what Ed's in Ed's head. You know, you do what you're going to do. You're always your own man. So it's like
Ed's been flinging plywood and working on forklifts today.
I don't even tell people that because I don't know what you do all day. You know, I've been out to your place of business, what, one time? Just to get a look around, just to see what you did. And that was a couple of years ago. You know, we don't do that.
Yeah, take one look at the place and you kind of get an idea. It's like, okay, somebody's slinging this stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, but I've done my job. We were talking about the council races, and it just hit me because I was laughing after I got off that phone call.
Yeah.
It's like people think I know everything about your life, and I just don't. So, okay.
Well,
but,
anyway. Being perfectly honest, it is in the realm of possibilities, as is me possibly getting busier at work and not being able to break free from those obligations. As is me hitting the lottery and just opening a can of whoop ass on all sorts of people.
Well, if you're gonna keep on this subject, then I have to ask this: do you have a timetable for when you may announce your intention, one way or the other?
No.
Okay.
Like I said, I honestly, I've got a lot of things. I mean, it's granted there are deadlines, and some people are regularly reminding me of these deadlines, but they're a little ways off, 30 plus days, at least a month off or more. So. No, I don't know. As like I say, a lot can happen in 30 years. the financials at the company will come back in. They'll be filed in some 30 days, or at least have a good, a lot of things in play. But I am kicking it around. I'll be honest, I am stunned at some of the information people send me on, let's just say, would-be opponents. It's like, wow. And I've also had, you've had some political insiders. I've had some political insiders tell me, flat out, go negative and, hey, use this. Like, oh, wow, with friends like that, well, who needs internet?
I tell you, it's really funny because there is a lot of negative on Julie Denton, especially when you get into the passport scandals and all the other things that went on just a couple of years ago. And everybody knows Julie's just coming back here to pad her pension. She could care less about Louisville. So that's neither here nor there. It's not a race at this point, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time on it. But the 9th District is heating up. Gina Ward-Pugliese has a candidate on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican. So we're going to pay attention to that going forward. And I would expect in the 9th District on the Metro Council, there's going to be quite a few people that are going to be putting their names in a hat in the very near future. Tina Ward-Pugliese has had that with an iron fist for over 10 years now. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. In the meantime, we've got other great things going on. The Louisville Metro Council on Thursday night basically made the last of any changes they plan on making to the ethics law, according to the Courier-Journal. They approved a cap on attorney fees, which I think was great. As we all know, when I filed charges against Judy Green and Judy Green was brought up, and then Barbara Shanklin, the lead attorneys on Shanklin's case billed over $173,000 to the taxpayers. After Judy Green was billed, I believe it was somewhere around $200,000 total on that one, and she was removed from office. After Judy Green was removed from office, the council did revise the then ordinance on ethics laws back in May of 2012 that any metro official accused of a violation would get an attorney at taxpayer expense, but they would not extend that same privilege and pay for that if there was a trial to remove from office, which occurred in Judy Green's case. So, they did make one change in May of 2012. Now they have made another change. The change today is that they are going to cap the legal expenses. Primarily, they're going to cap it to $50,000 total, which is $25,000 for each side, the plaintiff and the defendant. So that is actually a good thing, people. I know it's $50,000 of taxpayer money, but it would be $100,000 total over the previous two cases versus over $300,000 we paid to date, right?
Yeah, that, and it's there's a measure of parity to it. I mean, granted, we've all seen expensive cases and we've all seen cheap cases, go before committees or judges. In our case, we don't get committees, but I've always been a believer in it, as have you. We've both done our pro se work and our, our own activist type work. If you're innocent, it shouldn't be that hard to prove. And if you're guilty, how much money are the taxpayers going to spend on you? I mean, look, if you're in public service, you should, for the most part, be an open book. I'm sure there's some things, crime or HIPAA related or something, that don't come out, but right. It needs to be an open book. So, I mean, if somebody says, hey, we got ethics violations, they should just throw the checkbook open and say, come on in.
Right.
Let's do this now.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I tell you, there's something interesting, too, that came out of all of this as well. The Metro Council has basically changed the ethics law to allow a little bit more protection for council members, too. And I'm not sure I agree with this one yet. I have to look at the full language on it. But ultimately, what it boils down to is once you file an ethics complaint against council members and other officials, either the mayor, department heads, or whatever, in order to cut down on what they term as frivolous complaints, and I'm not sure you can have a frivolous complaint and an ethics complaint filed against a Metro Council member, but what they term frivolous complaints, the amendment, the Frivolous Complaints Amendment, it basically establishes a minimum threshold that will actually allow the Ethics Commission to discharge any complaint without a response from any of the Metro officers that have been charged. I don't think I agree with that to the extent that we're giving the Ethics Commission permission to hear or throw anything out they want to without hearing both sides of the story. What do you think?
I think I actually like that. I, you know, because let's face it, there are, I'm trying to think of the lady's name, and you'll come up with it, the one who thinks the government's doing microwaves on her.
Well, yeah, Connie Marshall.
Yeah, I mean, there are some crazies in, you know, that bounce around the edges, you know, the fringes of politics that could file and refile, and it seems to be completely made up and completely baseless. But yeah, I think as long as it's transparent and we know what they're looking at, as long as we get a look at what, you know, for the most part of what they're looking at, as long as it's not lewd or too invasive on people's personal
right.
lives. But I think,
right.
yeah, I think as long as we get a halfway decent look at it, absolutely. Because there are crazies out there. I mean, we've one of our employees used to be hooked up with one over a child support thing. I'm trying to think of the guy that was lived down by Churchill Downs. Was just he had some serious issues and was always filing lawsuits on people. So yeah, I think rather than waste, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 at a pop, I think they should be able to. I like that rule. I actually do.
Well, this is
as long as they can't just say, we didn't find any merit in it, close it, staple it, put it in file 13. Nobody ever gets to look at it. But
I'll give you a good example of the problem, though. I'll give you a good example of the problem because you mentioned lawsuits. For one thing, an ethics claim is not a lawsuit. Okay, so that's an entirely different thing. The frivolous lawsuits in court, you have judges who know the law, okay, and everything like that handle that. All right. So that's not an issue for me. The ethics complaint itself, though, I mean, there are so many things that are unethical about this council, and we continue running across them, as we know with Judy Green, Barbara Shanklin. And, you know, in the last couple of weeks or last couple of months, we've had two complaints entirely dismissed by the Ethics Commission, you know, but only after they had received responses. And I think if you're going to charge a metro official with an ethical complaint, not a lawsuit, but a complaint, you know, the county attorney's office is already paid to represent them. So, you know, when it comes to the actual complaint itself, let the county attorney's office do their job. It's not costing the taxpayer any money, but let's at least get their side of the story. Because for me, if a metro council or a department head or a metro officer doesn't want to give us their side of the story, they have something to hide. And I know that sounds cynical, but that's the experience I've been with for the last, 8 or 9 years now since I started doing this. So I think they should be forced to answer the complaint. It doesn't cost the taxpayer any extra money at all. Okay? Now, if the Ethics Commission decides to get rid of it at that point, okay. But once again, I really need to see the language because I haven't found it. I didn't find it over the weekend, and I certainly didn't have time today.
I'm just thinking, you know, it's like I say, you get somebody out in there in a metropolitan area with 600,000 to 700,000 people, you're going to get, you know, if people can do it, there are those that will, and it just becomes at some point a never-ending cycle. You know, it's like the Connie Marshall thing. It's like, you know, is Councilman X or Councilman Y is complicit in having the NSA send microwave signals to my kitchen to mess with my you know, my sex drive or something like that. It says, you know, so like I say, as long as there's transparency, if like you dismiss one out of hand, that ought to be, if the council doesn't even say there's no merit there, then at that point that ought to be completely open. The public ought to just, you shouldn't even have to file open records. It should just be like, okay, you dismissed it out of hand, come on, let us have a look at it for a chuckle, okay?
Well, it is going to be interesting, and I'll have the language. I'll look at that right after Christmas, later this week, and I'll figure out the language on it and see if there's anything there I'm missing. But from the bare bones minimum, I think that it tends to lead one to believe that there's something to hide. They don't even bother to respond, not costing the taxpayer a dime because the county attorney's office represents metro officers for free as part of their service to the city. So I don't know. We'll figure that one out going on. And I tell you why. There's a lot of interesting reasons why I feel that way, mainly because over the last 2 months, back in November, I had filed an ethics complaint against Jim King based on some deals that he did about 2 years ago. And the Ethics Commission rejected it and dismissed it, stating that a statute of limitations had expired. Now, according to the Ethics Commission rules, statute of limitations basically says that the complaint must be brought within 1 year or See, there's the or thing. Or within 1 year of reasonable expectation of discovery. Well, Jim King had done some questionable transactions with his bank, voted on some things that were going to be in front of the council that his bank was involved in, total ethical violation. 30 days after I found it, which I thought was or reasonable, the reason I went looking for it was because there was so much things going on with the Bart Shanklin deal and all the other stuff. So for me, the or was key here. The Ethics Commission decided that or didn't apply. So Jim King essentially got away with that. And then this month, just last week, Thursday night, there was an Ethics Commission complaint against Metro Councilman Tom Owen that was dismissed. However, in this particular case, the Ethics Commission told the person who filed the charges that they could refile. So, you know, we're not sure how this is going to go, but it was basically for the same reason. Now, in Tom Owen's defense, I'll give him credit here. In Tom Owen's defense, this complaint dealt with something that happened in 2009. Tom Owen and his family had directly benefited from land deals that he knew about because of his position, and Jim King was involved in the financing. So this was a hush-hush deal they both did together. But they were consistent in the fact that they basically threw it out because of two reasons. One was the expiration of the time limit, and the second was because Tom Owen, in his defense in 2009, did ask the Ethics Commission for an advisory opinion on this whole deal. So he tried to do due diligence, and I'll give him some credit for that. But this whole ethics thing is getting real interesting. And, you know, the biggest thing coming next year, and I believe this has already been brought up to be considered in this session, and I'm trying to verify that now, but the Louisville Ethics Commission, Louisville Metro Council is trying to change KRS 67C, which is what the governing law and everything else, the governing body adheres to for the merger for Jefferson County government. And essentially what they're going to do is basically let the Ethics Commission decide whether somebody gets thrown out of office or not. The Metro Council won't have anything to do with that. So that would be interesting as well. Let's go to the phones real quick already. I think this is Paul. Paul Harger, stop it. Is this you?
Good Monday evening.
How are you, sir?
Good Christmas. Yeah, Merry Christmas Eve Eve, Paul.
Merry Christmas Eve Eve. I had a fellow
work
with it, use that expression. So I understand. A lot of your all's listeners probably feel the same way I do about this whole Metro Ethics Commission farce. And that is, as far as I'm concerned, it is more of a device used to protect the politicians from the public.
Okay.
Now, I know that we had this Judy Greene thing, but, you know, there were some internal politics involved on the Judy Greene fiasco that led to her removal, and that had little to do with protecting the public. It had more to do with personal infighting, okay? And the same thing happened on this Barbara Shanklin thing, except that there were slightly different set of forces at work there. But, again, there were internal coalitions that ended up keeping Barbara Shanklin on the council. Now, we've been led to believe that the Ethics Commission's primary job is to make sure that the public and government resources are properly protected by people who might do something unethical. Well, folks, both of these persons have done things unethical, and yet only one of the two got removed, and that was only because of internal political infighting and personal alliances. This Ethics Commission does not. While the Ethics Commission may report their findings to the Metro Council, the Metro Council is the final judge and jury on this, so it's almost like it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference what the Ethics Commission finds. Really doesn't.
Well, now that I don't disagree with. You just made the point, because the Ethics Commission clearly is doing their job, and I'll be honest with you. The first time I went down the Ethics Commission road was with Judy Greene. And I did not expect a good outcome because of the internal politics, because when you look at the Ethics Commission and the people who are on the commission itself, typically they're insiders that have been appointed. They're political insiders, not elected officials, but political insiders. So they've got power, they've got influence. And two in particular stood out in my mind at that time, both of which were still with the Ethics Commission, and that's Jonathan Ricketts and Skip DeLure. Both of these guys I have been highly critical of in previous articles through the website, on radio shows, on different things that they had been involved in. And I had been highly critical of them, called them out, if you will. You know, and at the end of the day, they didn't let that sway them. They did their job. So in my opinion anyway, so far to date, the Ethics Commission has been tried, and I think they've passed the smell test as a commission. But, you know, what we're dealing with here is once the Ethics Commission does their job, and they found these people guilty, you know, all the power lies with the Metro Council, and that's where the cover-ups and the insider begins. And that's why I think it's important for them to take themselves out of the mix. I actually agree with what a lot of people are talking about as far as let the Ethics Commission, once their decision is made, that this is the result. You know, if you're found guilty like Judy Greene was, you're automatically impeached. You're automatically removed. Same thing would have been done with Barbara Shanklin if the Metro Council, if we didn't have to go through the Metro Council itself. Am I making sense?
Well, you are, but the problem with all of this, and while it sounds good on the surface, what you're doing is you're creating an extrajudicial process. So if these folks are violating rules and laws, then, you know, let's take them before the judiciary. Because now we're getting into all these little kangaroo courts and that are run by people who may or may not have the proper training in judicial process. I don't see where it ends, and I'm concerned that the Metro Council, who are a bunch of lay people, in essence, they're a bunch of lay people, are deciding that they're going to set the rules for people to judge them by. Well, duh, come on.
Well, I think
ultimately, though. How do you think they're going to structure those rules, Ed?
Well, the Ethics Commission itself, though, you got to understand how the process works, because they do have a judge. Typically, it's a retired judge. They do this, you know, but they do have a judge, a legit judge, that is the one who oversees the whole proceeding. So you do have a judge there. Jonathan Ricketts is actually the chair of the commission itself, and Jonathan Ricketts is an established, notable attorney here in Louisville. So you do have lawyers that know the law. So, I mean, it's not like we're taking a bunch of people and throwing them on, a planning and zoning commission and letting them decide what the city is going to look like. I mean, there are people here with the legal precedent and legal expertise, including a judge. So, you know, the Ethics Commission, I truthfully don't have any problem with, because we have to have, if we didn't have something like the Ethics Commission, where would we be? Where would we be? And I mean it sincerely, because we're going to let the Metro Council police themselves.
That's a good question.
Are we going to spend thousands of dollars in court?
Ed, there was a process in place before the concept of ethics commissions came about. Okay, why are we reinventing the wheel? Why are we creating this extra judicial branch of government that doesn't have the same power as the current judicial branch of government, and are not bound necessarily by the same rules? See, that's where I have problems with these so-called ethics commissions, because to me, it seems like that's the best way for the politicians to protect themselves from the public and being held accountable. Because the Metro Council created the Ethics Commission, but they're not bound to follow anything that the Ethics Commission finds. They're not bound to do that.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's why we're talking about going to the state legislature and having them change to where the Ethics Commission findings, they are bound to results, because that takes the power out of Metro Council. The problem is the Ethics Commission finds everybody.
Actually, that's one of the reasons Jerry Miller is running for the State House, is he wants to, that's one of the things he wants to get up there and do. He, like a lot of music council people, were in basically shock and awe at the Shanklin 7.
Mm-hmm. It's actually now the Shanklin 8. But yeah, I mean that is the game plan, because the Ethics Commission, in my opinion, has been doing their job. You know, you have to have somebody, you know, guarding the hen house, if you will. And we bring a complaint, the Ethics Commission does due diligence. They find them guilty or innocent, depending on the situation. You know, in most cases, I mean, I've had great success with the Ethics Commission myself, and I've got a lot of respect for them, which is hard for me to say. People know how critical I am of this Louisville government. So it's hard for me to say that I had such respect for the Ethics Commission, but I think Jonathan Ricketts, Skip DeLure, and a whole host of others have done a fantastic job. with what they've been given. So the problem doesn't lie, in my opinion, with the Ethics Commission. The problem lies in a law that allows the Metro Council to determine the outcome. You know, all the Ethics Commission does is say, hey, we found him guilty. It's up to you what you do with it. Well, if we change the law in Frankfurt like Jerry Miller wants to do, as our good friend Ed Martin pointed out, and what a lot of other council members want to do because they don't want to be in this position anymore. They just got burned on the Shanklin deal. They don't want to have to deal with it, which makes it easier for the state to take control and says, okay, the Ethics Commission findings are the final product, and these are the repercussions for their findings. Now, at that point, if the Ethics Commission comes back and starts playing games with their determinations, then we'll go after the Ethics Commission. But for right now, I'm willing to give that a try.
Well,
because
we've got
to have some...
The thing about the Ethics Commission is they don't have elections coming up. I mean, granted,
right,
they're political, their appointments are political, but they don't have elections, they don't have fundraising to have to worry about. So I think if it's stood off just a little bit, I think it's a good thing. I think if it makes it a little easier for a private citizen to pursue ethics violations as opposed to going through, say, circuit court or district court, probably circuit court, but if it makes it a little easier for them to pursue it without having to sign on to a $250 an hour attorney and eat the cost, then I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, if you remember, Larry Clark tried that. Larry Clark tried to get something passed last year. They backed off of it pretty quick when he had such backlash. But Larry Clark was actually trying to get somebody who brings a complaint themselves to pay for legal fees. There's nobody out there that can bring a complaint. We can't afford that. Go ahead, Paul.
The legislator who could possibly be subject to an ethics commission wants to make it more difficult for John and Jane Citizen to be able to have a complaint investigated. Yeah, that's the fox guard in the hen house. But I'm more troubled by the point you just made.
But explain that scenario.
Explain what scenario?
The scenario you just laid out about the legislature, the fox guard in the hen house, because when I file a complaint, it goes to the Ethics Commission. The Ethics Commission meets once a month.
I'm talking about the Larry Clark thing that you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what
he wanted.
That's what
I'm
we
talking
stopped
about.
That. Okay,
yeah.
My bad. I misunderstood you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, but this whole Ethics Commission thing and the Louisville Metro Council wanting the Ethics Commission to become more empowered, this is a continuation of a trend we've seen here in the United States now for the last 30 or 40 years, where the legislators, the people who get elected to conduct the people's business, are delegating their responsibilities, and therefore any fallout from executing their responsibilities to these third parties of some type. Take your pick. You can call them Ethics Commission. You can call them Planning and Zoning Commission. I don't care what you call them. But they are delegating the responsibility to somebody else, and then they come along and say, hey, it's not my fault. Not my fault. So if they're going to abdicate their responsibility, I agree with that,
but as the old saying goes, six of one, half dozen of another, they're delegating it to a more independent body. I'm not sure that I want people who are tightly aligned, either as we have seen, along party lines or racial lines, but tightly aligned with the person, you know, the ethical violations in question, and then having that person be a peer of theirs, no less, you know, so payback's a bitch. I agree with it that they are delegating, but by the same token, I kind of look at it and say, well, I kind of want them to delegate because they're a little too close for comfort for me to trust the validity and the veracity of any finding, because you can't tell me that there aren't interpersonal, political, and financial ties with your peers on, in this case, Metro Council.
I'm not
really satisfied with the fact that it's a step, or at least a half step, away from Metro Council. So, you know, you don't get to look at your peers and get all teary-eyed. You're not really going to do this to me, are you?
Ed Martin.
Go ahead, Paul.
Ed Martin,
ask your question.
If you were on the Metro Council, and I know this is somewhat speculative, but if you were on the Metro Council, and I know something about your background, I would not particularly be worried about you abdicating your responsibilities and delegating it in an effort to make a determination as to whether or not the conduct of a peer was proper or not. I know that enough about you that I don't think that you would run from facing the issue square up. I just don't think you would, Ed. Unless you tell me different right now, I don't think you would.
I would not, but there are, you know, and all of us having been involved in politics, we know there are people out there who have big favors and little favors and relationships, and, you know, whether it's shared fundraising or anything. I agree with you that it's a little bit of dereliction of duty. It's passing the ball to somebody else to take the hit. But by the same token, I think we all know it. We saw it. It's not a matter of theory. It's totally empirical. We saw it with eight, as Ed said. There's definitely, you know, you can say what you want, but there are people who are just going to flat come out later on and say, hey, the way I was voting against a black woman, you know, because,
you know, you
have black
people like Mary Woolridge.
So
Mary Woolridge Republican said that.
I'm willing to choke down the fact that Metro Council or any other body of government has taken a half step back or a full step back from actually doing the knife work, as long as they let somebody else who's probably, you know, got a little bit stronger stomach and just doesn't give a damn in some cases, let them do the knife work. In principle, I would love to see a bunch of, you know, nothing but black letter rule of the law, nothing but the public interest matters kind of public representatives and public officials. That's
and remember,
not what we've
if you
got
damages,
so,
and remember, if you've got damages, as an individual, if you've got damages, you can always go to court and sue. That's not the issue. You know, the issue is ethics violations. Typically, those ethics violations, you're not talking about monetary damages to an individual. So it makes it a little bit harder. You know, for me personally, what we just saw with racial and political divide in the Barbara Shanklin case was a complete injustice, by this Metro Council and what they put former councilwoman and the late Judy Greene through. That was a complete injustice. They made this a racial and political divide. And it was a racial and political divide by Judy Greene as well. Don't get me wrong, because Judy Greene didn't have anybody on her side. Nobody. Barbara Shanklin went public and chastised Judy Greene and went after her, and then got caught doing the same thing. You know, you had this whole contingent. Judy Greene's removal was basically unanimous. Everybody, black, white, green, yellow, purple. But the backlash against the Shanklin 6, that is now the Shanklin 8, the African-American council members who had to vote against Barbara Shanklin, they refused to do so because of the backlash they received by voting against a black female and Judy Greene. At the end of the day, they had to answer to their constituents and to their community, and they were chastised for it because of race.
So
completely out of the mix.
So their constituents, or you're saying that their constituents demanded that on the Barbara Shanklin case, that their elected representatives from their parts of the county fall in line solely on the basis of race. Is that what your contention is?
I'm not contending, and I'm flat out saying it. That's the game plan. So if that's the case, then we're not going to have fairness from this Metro Council when it comes to guarding themselves and impeaching anybody. So we've got to make sure that we have something that's going to make this a little bit better. And for me, going to the legislature, changing the law, and allowing the Ethics Commission to get their findings, and their set of findings will have an automatic disciplinary action up to and including impeachment or removal from office, depending on the offense, I don't see that as a bad thing. We eliminate that situation with Metro Council members. Now, do we have individual accountability with each Metro Council member on how they voted on removal? No. But we just saw how that's going to work, and we don't need that.
Yep.
We're
straddling the world between the ideal and the idealistic versus the real world. Yes, we can sit there and say, like I said, we can sit there and say, yes, it would be great if everybody followed the black letter of the law and voted. But in real life, very recently, we've seen it to be completely different. We've seen it to be political. We've seen it to be financial. We've seen it to be personal. We've seen it to be racial. So, you know, I hate to say that about a governing body, but they've shown themselves to be unable to carry out their responsibilities as far as the black letter of the law goes.
Well, Ed, you're right.
In that case, I would say it is with regret that I have to I have to agree with that. I think the Ethics Commission is the way to go.
But you are
you're
more
not alone
right
in regretting agreeing with
know.
You, believe me.
You are more right, Ed Martin, than what you know. The problem is that this
no, he's more right the way he knows according to you.
No,
that's your
no,
opinion.
No, listen
There's
to this.
A lot of
no, listen to this. Go no,
ahead.
Listen to this. He's more right than he knows because this discussion has been focusing on the back end of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What about the front end of the problem where the Metro Council people failed as a group to put the controls in place that would have prevented all of this crap from happening to begin with?
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And that's why we've got to go, you know, the bottom line is.
And I would say, yep.
Go ahead, Martin.
I was going to say, you know, and on the looking at it in 2020 vision, yes, I think, you know, as we've said before, and a word that comes up often enough when referring to politicians is arrogance. They felt like they didn't have anything to fear. They had the machine working for them. They were, you know, you address me as councilman or councilperson or whatever.
Yeah,
there was a feeling of bullet. They were bulletproof. They were 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And then people like Ed and help me here, Ed.
Ed Springsteen. That's all you need to know because I'm going
okay,
to
well,
go
I know, but I'm trying to think of
I'm going to want to go there.
You know, the charges against Judy Greene. You know, and then there's the activists and the bloggers and the researchers like Ed get involved and they dig and they find it and, you know, they force their hand. But you know, I think up to a certain point, you know, it kind of goes like a bad 1970s movie with a corrupt sheriff who doesn't think anybody can touch him. And I think that existed for a long time. I think it's coming down, but I do think it existed. It's like, look, there's a few dozen of us up here, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. And nobody's going to find out because everybody's winking and nodding at each other. It's like this is our own dirty little secret, right?
Well, here's a couple of things to think about.
Guess what?
Here's
the internet
is
great. People can find stuff out like nobody's business.
Well, here's a couple of things to think about, and I actually want to take this ethics into a different direction as soon as I make this statement because this is really interesting to me, too. This is where we really have ethics problems at, and I'll get to that in 1 second, but realistically, number one, bloggers, independent websites and stuff like that are the ones who are telling people the truth about what's really going on. Now, when you want to get into to how effective they are, I'm going to sit here and pat myself on the back in Louisville, and I'm going to do it freely, and I'm going to sound like a Rush Limbaugh on a God trip, okay? It's the truth, because everybody else likes to report the bad stuff, but nobody gets involved. I've brought charges against the biggest lily-white rich Democrat in this daggone town in Jim King and won. Judy Greene was impeached because of the charges I brought. You know, I get involved. That's the difference between Louisville politics and these other redneck sites who want to be somebody but don't want to play the game hard. You've got to get yourself involved, and we do that at Louisville Politics. We do that at Louisville News. We do it right here at MVM Radio. So I'm going to take credit for that. But and here's the reason I do that, because 6 and 7 years ago, before I decided to go down this road and force this accountability, they didn't know what to think. Nobody had ever done it before. It was brand new. And because it was brand new, they weren't sure what to do. But now look at where we are. We talk about how they've got all of these people on the councils, nod, nod, wink, wink, and all this other stuff. But we have forced these entrenched elected officials to actually have to deal with the ethics problems that they created. They didn't leave this stuff out on accident, folks. They left this stuff out on purpose because they never wanted to deal with anything.
Now they have to
deal with it, and it's primarily because of what I have done and started in this town. And people can think I'm some kind of a cocky, arrogant guy. I don't care. But until I did that, and I did this all on my own, at my own expense, there was nobody out there paying the way. It's damn near put me in a poorhouse accordingly. But now, they are doing what they should have been doing all along and working towards that end. And I will continue holding these guys accountable and let everybody else report the story like they've done something. Screw them. But here's a situation that we've got that we really need to get concerned with, and I'm going to find myself doing the one thing I think is unthinkable. No, hell has not frozen over, folks. What you're about to hear does not mean hell has frozen over 2 days before Christmas. But I am on the side of Jefferson County Attorney Mike O'Connell. And one instance, yep, the same guy that I can't stand, I despise, and I think he's nothing but a crooked insider. But Jefferson County, Michael Connell was admonished this year, earlier this year, because he was told he was violating lawyer ethics rules. And this is where I have problems, the Judicial Conduct Commission. Michael Connell is fighting that those charges now and everything else. And primarily what happened was Michael Connell chastised judges because he said they were too lenient on DUI cases. He sent a letter to judges complaining about their handling of drunk driving cases and everything else. That letter hit the news. Michael Connell was chastised by the ABA, or I'm sorry, the JCC and everybody else, and or the ABA, sorry, the American Bar Association, you know, because misconduct for talking about this. I don't find anything bad about that at all. Michael Connell is now, he's already been sanctioned for sending that letter out. Now they've got a January 14th hearing that he's trying to fight the sanctions. And what's interesting here is Michael Connell wants this January 14th hearing to be open. He's actually fighting for transparency for the public in this case. Now, it may just be this case, and I understand it's self-serving. But what's crazy here is the defense, the complainant himself, Vince April, who's a Louisville attorney, Vince April, I don't know which way you pronounce it, you know, also says it's okay to him as public. So the ABA hides behind this shadow that says they can't publicize anything like this to protect the integrity of the disciplinary process in the eyes of the public. How are you protecting the integrity of the disciplinary process in the eyes of the public when you are sitting out here denying open and transparent public forum when both sides agree to it? Discuss.
Well, I tell you what, in the machine and the tool and die packaging industry, that's what we call back ass words. You know, it makes little or no sense. It's once again, it's like, look, you know, sometimes, and I've said, you know, you met some of my lawyer friends, and I like them, but I have said of the legal profession before, it is a heavily government subsidized profession, taxpayer funded. I mean, your muscle and your forum are both taxpayer subsidized. But you know what? Aside from protecting the innocent or the alleged guilty, you know, before a conviction is rendered, as far as what the lawyers do, as long as you're not violating attorney-client privilege, it's like, I'm sorry, guys, but guess what? I'm subsidizing your career.
Right.
The courts are taxpayer-funded. The building is taxpayer-funded. The bailiff, the jail, the police that go out, you know, the sheriffs that serve the warrant. I'm sorry, guys. It's all taxpayer-funded. I'm paying for it. Open the frickin' doors.
And I apologize. I have to rephrase this. It wasn't the American Bar that was stopping this. It was the Kentucky Bar. The Kentucky Bar. The American Bar actually is behind it and says, hey, they've both given up the right to a closed hearing, so the basis for confidentiality no longer exists. So the ABA, the American Bar Association, is actually taking the right stance. So I apologize. I didn't mean to say American. I meant to say Kentucky Bar. But there's 39 states in this grand nation that allow public access to the disciplinary process involving lawyers once there is probable cause for a complaint found. Okay? That's the thing. Kentucky wants to hide everything. And I tell you from my personal experience, because Cheryl Snyder or Jim King, choose which one you want to, flip a coin, committed perjury during the first case I ever went after, which was a Jim King case. Cheryl Snyder was never disciplined for that. The Kentucky Bar was made aware of it and took no action. The Judicial Conduct Commission was made aware of all the problems with Katie King. The Judicial Conduct Commission refuses to have any transparency at all. The only response I got from the Judicial Conduct Commission, who oversees all the judges and everything else, was we made a decision, and rest assured whatever decision we made was the right one to make, and thanks for writing. I mean, come on, really? They won't even tell you what they did. They won't tell you whether they admonished them, suspended them, sanctioned them, whatever.
And hey, I left it out. The judges' pensions are funded by taxpayers, too.
Well, of course.
Like, just like
that. You know how great the pension is.
You work for us. I mean, that would be, you know, and I love my employees, and they love me. They really do. They actually brought me lots of really cool gifts. Like, wow, really? But, you know, it's like, look, guys, you're not you I hate to, you know, you don't want to say this in court because you're going into the clink, but it's like, dude, you work for me, okay? I don't know where you lost that, you know, you had that cognitive disconnect, but you work for me. Your check is made out, and the reason it doesn't bounce is because of the taxes I pay. Don't you dare slam that door in my face when it comes to chastising one of your own who conducts
right.
a business in a forum in a building paid for by me. No, not happening, you know.
Well, and, you know, we continue going down that road, too, because here's another case. Jack Conway just recently he closed the investigation into Deputy Justice Cabinet Secretary Charles Kvaden. All right? In a letter last month, he said there was insufficient evidence to bring charges against him. The matter is now closed. It's the same decision they made once Jim King was found guilty in the KREF. They're not going to take any action against somebody. Now, we talk about the Ethics Commission. Here's another great example of the Ethics Commission doing their job. Last year, the Ethics Commission charged Kvaden with 3 counts of violating the Ethics Code because he had illegally tried to force campaign contributions from employees of his cabinet to go to Steve Beshear. He even told them what dollar amount he wanted them to give. That's a big no-no in election finance. Okay, and again, here we have, because Jack Conway, you know, Jack Conway, it's the Conway, because this guy is incredible. This guy is constantly in the middle of all these situations, and he never does one thing. Now, the Ethics Commission found him guilty. This is a state charge. And Jack Conway says, oh, well, no big deal. You know, it's the same thing with the Kings. We find him guilty of illegal conduct, but no big deal. This is the problem. This is why we've got to take the government. That's the real fox guarding the hen house. It's the same situation at state level. This is why it's hard to get anything into jail. When Commonwealth Attorney Dave Stengel refused to present evidence to the grand jury he was obligated to present over the King case, then he refused me the right to address the grand jury. He committed illegal violations. Nothing was done with that. He did the same thing with Matt Conway. He covered Matt Conway, Attorney General Jack Conway's brother, on the drug charges. Now, Dave Stengel works in Jack Conway's office. Imagine that. That's where we've got to focus on. The Ethics Commissions really aren't the problem. It's these so-called government leaders that are political and partisan hacks like Jack Conway, Dave Stengel, Charles Kvaden, Steve Beshear, Jerry Abramson, you name it, they're there. And yes, I know they're all Democrats that I just named, but I'm sorry, folks, they're the ones in power. Who do you do? What do you do? Bottom line is this, man. We've got a lot of cleaning up to do. We are out of time. Paul, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Mr.
Feliz
Martin,
Navidad.
Final thoughts. Feliz Navidad, man. Go ahead, Bart.
Hello.
Ed, go ahead. Ed, closing arguments.
Oh, well, you know, final thoughts. We have a lot of bad news and stuff. A lot of times we rag on people, but, you know, it's just going to have one of those moments where we say it's still a pretty damn good place to live. You know, we're overly materialistic. It's not always a bad thing. It's still the best country in the world, and we're about to celebrate one of the best holidays in the world, and we don't get persecuted for it. So you know what? I'm just going to go into it thankful for that. Actually, I'm not going to work tomorrow. Go figure. But, you know, hey, just tell people for closing thoughts, enjoy your holidays. Just put all this government crap out of your mind. I'm going to try to do it. And enjoy your holidays. Enjoy the weather. It's actually not going to be raining. And God bless you all.
Well, I tell you, you know, we spend a lot of time on this show through the year. We do news and we do politics. You know, now earlier you heard me patting myself on the back. That's not something that comes easy for me. It's just a reality. Because somebody had to stand up. One voice, one man can make a difference. That voice of that man doesn't have to be me. You can make a difference. That's why we call everything around this. The MVM radio show stands for My View Matters. Because each and every day, when you look in that mirror, you have to justify your existence in one form or another. I don't care what you're doing, if you're going to work, you're going out for the night, whatever. But everybody, it's human nature to have opinions, and it's human nature to want to have a voice. It's up to you to seize that opportunity. So when you're looking in that mirror, you say, my view matters. And today, I think it's more important than ever. This is the Christmas season. Everybody by now has surely heard about the Duck Dynasty fiasco and Mr. Roberts. This is crazy. When you can't celebrate Christ, when you can't celebrate being a Christian, when you can't celebrate this time of year, of all times of year, your belief in God and the heavens above without being chastised. But you could be a Muslim, you could be gay, you could be all these hate groups combined. But if you're a Christian, there's something wrong with you, that we've got more problems in this world than I can shake a stick at. But the bottom line is this. For the next 2 days, I beg you, I urge you, for the next 2 days, forget news, forget politics, enjoy the season. This is about family and friends and God and your relationship with all of them. Put it together. Enjoy the holiday. Forget the rest. It'll still be here Thursday, I promise you. With that said, folks, have a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Of course, we'll be back next week. But enjoy your Christmas holiday.
You have a blessed holiday, Mr. Springsteen.
You too, Ed Martin. Merry Christmas to you and to Paul as well. But for the rest of you guys, enjoy it, man. Embrace it. Embrace it. Life is short. Take advantage of the good. This is one of those times. We'll see you next week. Have a great one, folks. Take care.